Good morning and welcome, everyone, to Live Dharma Sunday for December 23rd, 2012. As this holiday season continues, I was thinking about the changing nature of how, the winter holidays are celebrated when one is oneself a child, and one has all these memories of how his family celebrated things, Christmas presents and trees and sitting on Santa Claus's lap at the shopping mall and all of these things. And then when one is a parent, if you have children, then of course you're doing it for your children, and you're the one who's planning and making sure that the things are celebrating and so forth. And then when your children are growing up, then everything gets scaled back and the holiday activities change. And it's interesting to, at that point, look back at the changing nature of one's experience. And that's sort of one of the pleasures, I guess, of life, is sitting back at these special times and remembering all the previous occasions and the celebrations with family and loved ones and the variety of experience that it involves. That's a tremendous thing. Well, let's begin today, with our guest, Patty Cayo of Southern California, and she was part of our LM4 group. So let's hear a Dharma glimpse from Patty Cayo.
Thank you, Reverend Coyo and Adrian San, for allowing me to share a Dharma glimpse on the Sunday Dharma Live program, which I listen to religiously, no pun intended, and from which I always gain a valuable teaching. My Dharma name means home, and when Reverend Coyo gave me the name, he clearly understood that home and family were fundamental in the way I look at life. Each year when Christmas rolls around, I wonder if the tradition of getting together, giving gifts, and sharing dinner is coming to an end. The family dynamics have changed. There have been deaths. Children have grown up and moved out, or not. And it's getting harder to organize a family function. One of my brothers has started his own tradition of taking a trip and laying low somewhere during this time of the year. Our tradition may be changing, but for better or worse, I volunteered to host Christmas dinner at my house again this year. We don't celebrate Christmas in the religious sense, but I'm happy to have any opportunity to cook, decorate, share gifts, get together with the family. Sometimes these gatherings don't go so smoothly, despite my best efforts. Sometimes relations are strained, or an occasional childhood trauma will resurface and the accusations fly. It's these times that after the party is over, I announce to my immediate family that's the last one, only to retract it a few weeks later. Thinking about this now, as I prepare for this party, I remind myself not to dwell on the past, but to accept the fact that this is where we are at this point in our ever-changing lives. I'm happy to use this holiday as a way to reconnect with family and friends, and you can be sure I will be relying on the Dharma to carry me through the experience. Looking back on our past Christmas get-togethers, I can vividly remember the last one my mother was at. I have pictures that reflect our number shrinking at one end and growing with new babies on the other. So for good and bad, these occasions are marking time and punctuating memories, and I never know when it truly will be the last one. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't know exactly what she was going to talk about, but my introductory remarks were a good segue lead in through that. Indeed, changing times, and each time is the special time. That's what the, when we say changing nature of things, or sometimes we call it impermanence, it really sharpens our awareness of the present moment, of the reality of what's happening, because we don't take it for granted. And that's a, really a great thing. One aspect of, two aspects of, I think, holiday season. One is when we try to relate the Dharma to it, and a fun time, celebrating and having fun, laughing, and the Dharma too. And this is a way of introducing what I call a Dharma Santa story. Now, a little historical background. You know, Bodhidharma, sometimes called also Bodhi Dharma, the transliteration of it, but this is was an Indian monk, Tamo, means also the way of pronouncing Dharma. So he represents Bodhidharma, who's a famous Indian monk who came to China bringing the discipline of meditation. And he was actually the first patriarch and founded Chan or Zen Buddhism. He was the third son of the king of Koshi, a country in South India. And according to tradition, he came to China in 520 AD, and when he was more than 60 years of age. And he practiced meditation with his face to the wall for 9 years at the Shaolin in the Songchan Mountains. And legend has it that Bodhidharma sewed his eyelids open so he would not fall asleep while meditating. And then he meditated so long that his arms and legs fell off. This legend is the origin of the Dharma doll in Japanese culture. Now, what's called the Dharma doll is a bright red pear-shaped doll, and the bottom is weighted so that if it's tipped, it rights itself. And there's the Japanese saying, 7 times down, 8 times up. So the Dharma doll is a symbol of resilience, telling us that no matter how many times life difficulties may knock us over, we can always right ourselves. In a spiritual context, it could be said that the Eastern meditation helps to establish a heavy Dharma weight in one's gut, or hara, making for a stable spiritual life. Whereas in the West, a premium is put on the head or intellect. So in effect, the pear-shaped doll is placed upside down, resulting in an unstable top-heavy doll. So the stability of one's spiritual life can sometimes be sabotaged by too much thinking. Now, this Dharma doll is a popular symbol of good fortune, and it can be seen in Japanese restaurants and gift shops. Well, I'd like to make an association of this red, squat Dharma doll with the popular image of Santa Claus. In addition to Santa also being portly and dressed all in red, Santa's always saying, ho, ho, ho. Well, did you know that in Japanese, the Chinese written character for Dharma is pronounced ho? And, in fact, when Japanese Zen monks do their spiritual practice of begging, or takuhatsu, they walk the neighborhood in the streets and they're chanting ho, ho. And people come out, they hear that, they come out to give a donation to these monks. Well, during our winter holiday season here, whenever you see Santa and you hear him saying ho, 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 we Buddhists can imagine that he's proclaiming the good news of the Dharma. Isn't that great? We can't help but chuckle. And this is we got to keep our sense of humor. The Dharma is fundamentally very down to earth. And I think that Buddhists, sometimes they could be categorized into either the so-called Hinayana or Mahayana schools, but I like to consider Dharma Santa as belonging to the Mahayana school. So, and this is, I think, a way of incorporating the Dharma with the holiday season and also sharing laughter together. I was just reading this from an article that I wrote back in, when is this? This is the winter issue of 1998 in the Oneness newsletter. And then there was a comical karma feature that we had where we included some comic strips. And here's a really nice one that I like. It was on the same page. This is from Blondie comic strip. And there's four panels. The first one, Elmo, it's the winter scene in the neighborhood. Snow's all around. And the little boy Elmo comes up to Dagwood and says, "Oh, boo-hoo, that mean bully Butch hit me with a snowball." Then the second panel says, "Will you help me get him back, Mr. Bumstead?" And then Dagwood is leaning over saying, "Just ignore him, Elmo, and he won't bother you anymore." And then the third panel shows a snowball hitting Dagwood right in the face. Bam! In the fourth panel, Dagwood and Elmo are in this snow fort, and they got all these snowballs made, and Dagwood is saying, "Okay, here's the plan." I love this because, you know, we have our values and sentiments. Hey, you know, don't fight and don't try to get somebody back. But that's abstract conceptualization. And when you get hit by the snowball in your face, everything changes, doesn't it? This is where the rubber hits the road, or the nitty gritty, or, you know, direct experience trumps all the dogma. One's karma, or meaning, you know, actions take place and have results. That's stronger than any ideals that one might have. Okay, so this is why spiritual practice is necessary to counter the powerful effect of experience. That when we experience something that arouses our anger or negative emotions, we need something that will counter it. A stable, heavy point of anchoring, you know, gravity sort of point that anchors us. We all might get tipped, you know, over a little bit. But it's through the practice. We shouldn't get into a misguided mental set or an assumption that, oh, as a Buddhist, or I've been practicing for so many years, and, oh, but I still got angry, or I still got this or that. It's not an either-or type of a thing. But I could say that it will take more extreme, intense experience to knock oneself off center. And when one does get knocked off center, it's not so bad. It's not as quite extreme. And if that happens, one can let go and right oneself much quicker. In fact, I put a sort of a numbers sort of like a formula for this kind of aspect, that the degrees of getting upset, you know, not yes or no. It means like even a saint can lose his temper. Okay? But a saint is something like perhaps a 90-10. I call it a 90-10, okay, to make 100% of, okay. And the 90 is stable, okay. It's only 10% of the, that he could get upset. It's very stable, 90%, okay. It's going to take something pretty extreme to get him upset. Whereas a very unstable person, like a walking bomb, might be 51-49. Okay? There's just a thin veneer of socialization or, you know, being civilized. Just a 1 or 2 points, bam, the threshold is, the tipping point is over. And he loses his temper. But of course, through society and everything and upbringing, we're taught how to get together, get along together, and that 50-50 thing becomes maybe 60-40. Okay. So you got that buffer. 60%, hey, you're calm and everything, kind, considerate, courteous. Okay. But that 40% is still pretty big. And I think if you, I used to be 60-40. I think I'm about a 70-30 right now. I'm moving right in the right direction. Oh, if I got 80-20, I think that's really rare. And I always say that my father, who was a very gentle person, he was a 90-10, you know. Still not immune to getting upset. You know, through some, you know, you have to insult him pretty badly, you know, or subject him to, you know, things that would get him, put him over the line, okay? That's sainthood over there, 90-10, okay? So don't get into the trap of saying, oh, I lost it, and that crazy driver or that rude store clerk or something, okay? But keep our daily practice and then say, hey, you know, you could move from a 60-40 to 70-30, 80-20 to keep the perspective, okay, that in that sense, things are relative. Even the 90-10 person might feel, oh, I got a long way to go to be a kind person. The 90-10 saint doesn't say, hey, I'm very such and such. You know? There's no self-consciousness of superiority or sainthoodness, huh? Okay. And at the same time, when we're 60-40, we say, hey, I got a long way to go too. Okay. All of us have a long way to go. Okay. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, indeed, keep going. Okay? And have some happy laughs and have a very beautiful December 25th holiday celebration. Thank you.